You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
Look! Up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's dance-off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilpin.
I'm Adam Bishop.
I'm Chris Ellis.
I'm the Hey Kids Comics Desperado.
I'm Batman.
Who's a villain in Captain Canuck?
What does he do?
Taking our maple syrup, eh?
I'm gonna chuck my hockey puck in my beer bottle at you. Take off, you hoser.
Gwenpool. I mean, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff. This is gonna be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
When you're trying to come up with an offensive movie that you want to reclaim, it's time to segue into the next porn comic segment, Adam.
How can you not have seen Airplane? What are you guys, young?
I talked to him directly, so I got a mass order. So I have like a good 5-inch stack inside my comic book.
Right on.
That's below average.
Halt! Smash!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show. I am one of your hosts, Martin Bruda, and with me today are
Dan Collins,
Chris Ellis,
and Chris Gilpin.
Gentlemen, how are we today?
Good, pretty good.
Doing good.
I'm a little hangry, so I might have to eat my Meteor bar.
Ooh. The knockoff Mars bar.
the Dollarama knockoff. Yeah, I went to Dollarama the other day and found another, a couple of hard covers and soft covers.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
I just grabbed one.
New ones?
No, I'm trying to behave. So I just grabbed one. It was Justice League, Midsummer's Night, something or another. Deluxe edition, and it was kind of funny because I put it in the cart and the kids are like throwing a whole bunch of snack food in the cart, and I look over and some guy who looks, I don't know, like a 20-year-old younger version of me is just like grabbing all of them and throwing them in his cart, and I'm like, I used to be that
like three months ago.
Yeah, that used to be me. Anyways, what are we talking about today? I think we're talking about covers, aren't we? Fancy covers.
Yeah.
Talking about our favorite cover songs.
Yeah.
There you go. Multiple covers, variant covers, die cut covers, cover gimmicks.
Yep. Everything.
We got to start with Legends of the Dark Knight number one. Was that not the very first variant cover comic book that was kind of on purpose from a marketing point of view created?
I don't know. I looked it up because, you know, I thought since I pitched it, I probably should do a little bit of research. And Dr. Google says that 1986's The Man of Steel number one was the first one. The 6-issue miniseries, it had two. And they also put on the special cover, it said special collector's edition, and so they aimed it specifically at collectors.
Right, I totally forgot about that one. And the Man of Steel logo on that cover was metallic, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Like the silvery shimmery, not quite as like the metallic stuff, but it was like yeah.
I'm going to put you on the spot. What year was that?
1986, it said.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that jives, because that was right after Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah.
John Byrne's illustrious reboot of Superman.
Exactly. Yep.
Excellent. Yeah. Because Legends of Dark Knight didn't come out until 89. Okay. And that was basically, they just had a bunch of different protective Bristol board, construction paper. it was a non-glossy colored paper, and they had logos printed on them, and they were cover stapled on top of the regular cover, and I think there was five different colors, but the regular cover was underneath.
I don't think I recall that one.
Yeah, but that was 1989. Yeah. Of course, we all know what happened a year later, the 1990s, the dreaded wretched 1990s in comics, they oft complained about 1990s in comics and the onslaught of the gimmick cover.
Yes. Yeah.
They didn't know there were some great stories back then.
Yeah. But they were really trying to aim like at a a collector's market. They really wanted people to like invest in the books. And it's actually kind of, I was just saw an article there the other day, and Image Comics is saying they are no longer going to do second prints, and they are only going to do one cover. They're basically saying, like, I guess there's a paper shortage. I don't know. I guess a paper shortage. So, but on top of that, they're just finding that people are like overspent on buying like the special covers and stuff. Right. Like I really wanted the 1 in 250 Spawn book for wasn't King Spawn. King Spawn. And then it was autographed by Todd McFarlane, and he was only going to sign 250 of them. And then that's it. Like there's going to be no more. And it's on his do not sign list. So I was like, oh, that'd be kind of cool to have that one. The cheapest that I found that was $799. And then, or like through the local shop, he'd order me 250 so that I could get one.
Now, one thing that Image is doing, however, is they're pivoting from sort of self-produced variants to retailer exclusive covers.
Okay.
So the retailer exclusive covers are going to be available for any issue, any like number one, number 22, doesn't matter. Mm. Minimum order of 500 copies, it says here. And you can request multiple versions of a cover. So virgin with no trade dress, black and white, pencils only, that sort of stuff for each cover. Mm-hmm. But each cover, each variation is 500 copies.
Wow.
So you have to order at least 500 copies of each if you're a retailer. So, I mean, I guess we could do Hey Kids Comics variant cover of King Spawn number 10.
Yeah. For a low and $10,000 investment.
Might cost a little money.
Yeah.
So Gotham Central's doing that, right? Doing their own variants.
Yeah, they do that. And they used to do it with that AOD collectibles or whatever in conjunction with, but I think they've had a couple that were strictly Gotham Central.
Yeah. There was, what was it? Spider-Man 666. They did like they let comic stores buy so many books. Like Mile High Comics had one, and you know, they all kind of, I don't know how it worked specifically, like per store, what that variant worked out to being, but I bought one from the from that store in Oshawa. What the heck? It used to be right across the road from Wildstar.
World's Collide?
Yeah, World's Collide. Yeah. So I've got a World's Collide one.
Yeah. Well, they did that with the Walking Dead reissue of number one, didn't they? Everybody got a, basically it was a Smash storefront, and they just put the logo of the store on the Smash glass.
Yeah. So
it looks like it was your comic shop that was being attacked by zombies.
Yeah.
I think I got a Gotham Central of that one lying around somewhere.
Oh, nice. I don't think I even saw that.
Yeah. I'll have to dig it up. Oh, wait. Oh, you know what? I might not.
The Great Purge of 2021.
The Great Purge of 2021. That might have gone for 60 cents. That may have gone out the door. I'll have to look. Yeah, I think I do have a box of it's called Variants, and there's a bunch of stuff in there. Mostly it's the Neil Adams variant covers that he released for DC for a while ago. But there might be some other things like those Harley little black book, the ones that were sealed in black plastic.
Yeah.
I know which one you got. So maybe it's in there. Maybe. Gosh, no one knows.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. But back to the 90s, I've got a list here. I've got a couple of lists. It's like the top 20 wacky covers of the 90s.
Oh, nice.
Well, yeah, why don't we start with who they or what issue people blame the most for variant covers?
Well, I don't know.
The one that started it all in the 90s, apparently. X-Men number one.
You're going to blame X-Men number one?
I thought it was Spider-Man number one.
Yeah, I was going to say Spider-Man.
You don't want to blame X-Force number one with all the trading cards?
No. Well, I don't know. I read an article that X-Men number one started it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the 90s.
Because there was the gatefold cover for X-Men number one, Jim Lee's X-Men number one, that had all the covers
Yeah.
folded out. and then they had one of each cover. I don't know which one. I might have one of them.
I think there was only five, though, right? Like, it was the, they broke it down into four covers, and then there was the gatefold. But I'm pretty sure Spider-Man had at least six covers, right?
Well, Spider-Man started with the regular one, a silver one and a gold one. But then they added to it, like, some of the reprints.
Yeah.
And wasn't there, like, a platinum edition as
There was a platinum, yeah.
Like a reprint platinum?
Yeah, I have them all except for the UPC code second print.
Yeah.
So I've got like the regular gold, but I don't have the UPC.
I do have a slightly funny story about that one. So our beloved Dixon's Comics, right? Mm-hmm. Art Dixon, proprietor. He always, like when I went in there as a youngin, he would always like, you know, fatherly figure, show me silly things. Like, don't put your largest bill on the outside of your wad of cash. Put your smallest bill inside so that it didn't look like you're walking around with a whole bunch of 20s. They probably weren't 20s. They were probably fives back then, you know, a wad of ones and twos wrapped in a five. But nobody at that store really figured out who I was. Nobody really kind of remembered my name until there was a fellow there, black hair, glasses, and a beard and mustache. And I cannot remember his name, but he ended up going across the street to Dubai's Hobbies when Dubai's Hobbies started carrying comic. So I don't know if anybody remembers his name. We're Sam when we need him.
No,
but he kind of got friendly with me. So, you know, just never on a first name basis, but hey, how you doing? And he'd notice I was coming in twice a week picking up comics. So I'm in there picking up my comic books, and at the front is a little box. I didn't even pay any attention to what's in the box. So I get there, and this fellow, he goes to Steve, right, Art's son, hey, how about this kid? And Steve looks at me and he's like, who the flip is this guy? And the guy says, no, he buys comics all the time. He's like, okay, well, I guess you can participate. Pick a comic out of the box. You had to not look, and you reached in, you pulled out a comic, and it was all the variant covers of Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. So that's how they were selecting who gets which one. You just kind of put your hand and pulled it out. And I ended up pulling out the gold one. So it was like, you could see the look on Steve's face, like, who's this nobody who gets the expensive one? And I'm like, dude, been coming here since you've been open. I was coming here before you started selling new comics. Like, learn my name. Shut up. So I took my introverted self and my gold Spider-Man and I left. Anyways, that was my little tidbit about Spider-Man number one.
I want to say the other guy's name was Steve as well, wasn't it?
Yes. 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 I remember having that argument once with somebody. His name was Steve as well. You're right.
No idea.
I think it's
before my time, I think.
If I'm not mistaken, somebody said that he opened up a shop in Trenton or Belleville that was Ted's second shop.
Okay. Either. That was in Port Hope.
It was in Port Hope? No, maybe it wasn't him then. I'm almost positive they said Belleville, but who knows? I forgot to like put on pants today, so gosh, only knows this old fart here that doesn't remember anything.
Because when I was at Another World, I had to pull the comics for, I did a co-op there. So I was pulling the comics for the shop down there because they didn't have the delivery go there. It came to the Peterborough store. And then it was actually just a young couple that was kind of running it. They ended up buying it from Ted, but they would drive to Peterborough and pick up all the comics. So I had them all pulled in the lists of who was getting which books and stuff.
So just for reference, I'm looking here and that X-Men number one is not in the list. Yes, it is. It's number eight. Number one. It's number eight in the list. Beautiful panorama by legendary comic artist Jim Lee.
Honestly, it's a cool picture. It's a cool picture.
Yeah. So it was five separate covers. It says here you had to buy all five of the separate covers to put them together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
five separate variant covers, okay. And then the
panorama. So then it was six, and then it was so with the gatefold.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
Who remembers the polybags?
Oh yeah, that's what that was. The one I was going to go for is X-Men number one with the trading cards. X-Force number one.
Okay,
that was
okay. Was that
91? That was 1991.
Okay, so X-Force was before. I was going to say, was that before Superman? Because like, when Superman died and they did the black bag version, that was like, well, I remember seeing it hanging on the wall for a brand new comic for $200
yeah.
when it came out, because they only released so many. So I remember seeing that black bag, and I didn't pre-order it. My buddy did. So he had one and I didn't.
So that
now
was
now they're in the dollar bins.
Yeah. Well, actually they're still about $20 for a sealed black bag, but they're long ways away from that $200 that somebody paid to buy that.
Was there anything inside the bag other than the comic, or
it had a black armband?
Right.
And it had, what else did it have? Oh, it had a card, because they were doing the Skybox Death of Superman set. And then I think it had like a newspaper article, like torn from the Daily Planet, and all that for, I don't know, it was probably $1.99.
Yeah.
So X-Force number one is number 6 on the list, in case you're keeping track.
Alrighty. Is Spider-Man on the list?
No.
Is this Family Feud? Are we supposed to guess what's on the list?
No.
Yeah.
No, you don't have to. My favorite, though, is the holograms.
Yes.
When the holograms started coming out, those were kind of cool. Come on now.
Fatal Attractions?
Like, yeah, I was going to say Fatal Attractions. Was that the main one?
There was a Spectacular Spider-Man 30th anniversary giant sized issue 189.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Issue 189 was the 30th anniversary giant size. It had a Spider-Man hologram, like a big one.
Yeah.
On the cover. You know,
that was a blue cover, right?
So that one was pretty cool. I mean, holograms. Who doesn't love holograms? But another thing that was around when I was a kid, I don't know if you, but it was called Color Forms. So what you got is you got like a plastic coated sheet, and it would be like a skyscape or something like this, or a space station. And you'd come with a little wax piece of paper, and on the wax piece of paper were all the characters. And you would put it down, you would rub the Spider-Man or whatever, and it would like transfer onto the background. So you could create your own scenes with these things. Nice. Well, Superman Man of Steel number 30 came that cover. Way.
I got that cover.
You got that one?
Oh, yeah. I don't have that one. Superman and Lobo.
Yeah, Superman and Lobo. And it was just a sky scene of the Daily Planet. It had all these little stickers that you could peel off. It was long hair Superman.
Yep.
You can peel them all off and create all sorts of battle scenes with Lobo. But I think it was like reusable stickers on that one, wasn't it?
Yeah. 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 And it was mullet. Yeah. It was mullet Superman. It was mullet Superman.
That's the best. So you could have an interactive cover.
Yes.
The one I remember most, I think it was DC versus Milestone or something. And that had characters from both series, and there was the bridge in the background.
Yes, they had one too.
Yeah, and it was a peel and stick the characters on.
Yeah.
That was kind of neat.
I also have that one.
Had you got the sticker sheet unused? Or
yes. Yeah, I never, I don't know, I couldn't bring myself to like stick the stickers down.
Jeff's Kiss, it's in mint. Kids going to the good college now.
Yeah, I think I paid $1 for it. It's probably worth 50 cents, right? my comic investing skills are not so great. Right. I bought stuff that I like to read, not stuff that I thought was going to be worth a lot of money. Now, some stuff that I wanted to read ended up being worth a lot of money, but when I bought it, it really wasn't. So every once in a while, you kind of fluked out. But with any of these special covers, just never worked out for me.
Yeah, exactly. How about Bloodstrike with the thermo ink blood splatters all over it? Do you remember that?
I don't remember that. No.
So it was Bloodstrike from Image Comics, Rob Liefeld. And it wasn't quite black and white. The logo was in red, if I recall, and everything was kind of shades of gray, not quite black and white, a little bit of color in there, but it had blood splotches all over it. But the blood splotches were thermal. And I can't remember if the heat of your hand made them show up or made them disappear. But you could literally, all of your mint comic books, just slap your hand all over it, trying to get this blood to either appear or disappear. It's kind of like the coffee mugs. You pour coffee in, the image goes. Yeah. That was a bit of a shtick. I remember getting that one, being all excited. And
I don't recall that one. I would buy that one just to see if it still worked 35 years later.
Oh, yeah, right? Oh my gosh, right? Does it work 30 years later? Is that ink still thermochromic or whatever they call
exactly,
it?
Exactly.
Exactly. Fantastic. Now I gotta find one.
Yeah, it'll be like $600 on eBay.
Yeah, no, I gotta find one. That's awesome.
Well, they still work on the Transformers. It's the same type of thing, right? Where you rub it and it reveals the logo.
Yeah.
Most That'd of mine cool. don't though. They're most of
no,
mine.
Really?
Yeah, they're all dead. They don't work anymore.
Well, stop rubbing them.
but I gotta know. I gotta know what team he's on. I gotta know.
Chris, stop rubbing your Transformers.
I can't help it. That's just creepy. Don't do that, Martin.
Stop rubbing your Transformers.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we had all sorts of the holograms were all over the place. They were silver. They were green. Back in the day when you got Jack in the Box, Cracker Jacks, you get like a little lenticular.
Oh, the lenticular.
Yeah. You moved it side to side. It had a different image. I think some of the covers had that too instead of a hologram, didn't they?
Robin, right? It was the Robin series.
How could I forget? Like, they Robin like Series 1 and Robin Series 2 and Robin Series 3. How could I forget?
Yeah, man, those were some seriously gimmicky covers. And I think I picked one up at either at a Comic-Con or a comic shop. And it was all three covers for all three books in each series. And they are as gimmicky as you can imagine. Like they've got the main cover has like the hologram. So you can look at it. And then there was just like the plain regular comic cover that nobody wanted. And then there was one more, but I can't remember what was special about it, but they were, it was like $2 for $6 or for $9. But
wasn't that something like you slid something and it changed the scene or.
Yeah. I think that was the third series that did that.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, it got like, so that there was, how gimmicky can we make this?
Yeah. Oh, you mean like it had like a tab and you pulled it?
Yeah.
Fence. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I have forgotten more about the Robin series than I ever knew about it to begin with. it's like anti took space from my brain. I think the biggest hologram image, though, if I'm not mistaken, was on an issue of a Superman comic book. I'm trying to remember what it was. It was a black cover, and a good 80% of the cover was a color hologram.
Really?
Let's see if it's on the list.
That one, I don't remember that one.
It is. Haha.
Oh, there you go.
Superman Forever. Superman Forever 1998 one shot at number 13. So yeah, it's a black cover. And it's an Alan Ross picture of Superman pulling open his shirt and flying away. It's huge. Like it's a, oh no, it's saying it's lenticular.
Oh. You know, another one was a personal favorite of mine. Glow in the Dark.
Yeah. Right?
Ghost Rider. Ghost Rider, first and second print, number 15. Absolutely awesome covers. And then the Spectre was glow in the dark. Noctera just had one. We're talking, the new series, it had a glow in the dark cover, which I also managed to get my hands on. I pre-ordered that one. Who else had a glow?
Quite a few of the Batman issues at that time.
Yeah.
Had specifically, I always get his name wrong, Kelly Jones. Whenever Kelly Jones did the art, I can't remember if that was Detective or Batman, but they had Dead Man as the guest star.
Okay.
So there was a few glow in the dark covers there, if I recall correctly.
Yeah. But the white paint that they used for the glow in the dark had such a weird feeling. Like as soon as you touched it, it was like, it was kind of gritty.
Yeah.
What's with you and rubbing everything?
Yeah, stop rubbing. Come on, it's textures.
My Transformers are rough and gritty.
No, they're just fun.
Oh man.
But yeah, like Dan said, that Ghost Rider cover was amazing. Like the whole head in flames.
Yeah.
That was 15, you said?
Yeah.
That was just wicked.
And when they did the Ghost Rider cards, they had glow in the cardboard box glowed in the dark. So when I was at the comic shop, and Ted ran out of packs, I'm like, Ted, can I have that box? He's like, yeah, sure. I'm just going to throw it in the garbage. So I have like the box from Ghost Rider series one. And when it's open, like as if you could take the packs out, it's got like the big skull, and it's glow in the dark, the skull. So nice. I've got it on a shelf. I was like, that's cool. I've never seen another one, but because nobody bought that series.
Nobody bought
the cards, but
that's hilarious. But the wonkiest one, then we start getting into die cut covers where they were cutting pieces out. And yes. Eclipso from DC that had the jewel cut out, whatever.
Yeah.
Infinity Stone before Infinity Stones, but you know, Marvel. I mean, they're originators of everything. They never rip anybody up. Anyways, Malibu Comics did a comic book called not Ferret. Ferret's the other one.
The Protectors with the Bullet Hole?
Yes, Protectors with the Bullet Hole.
So I have that book, number five.
There's a bullet hole in the cover. That's not a real bullet hole.
Did you rub it, Chris?
No, but it goes all the way through the book.
He stuck his finger through it, though.
No, he sure did.
No, I just held it up to the light, made sure it went all the way through.
I am not touching that one with a 10-foot pole. But if I recall correctly, wasn't the bullet hole like part of the story? Like every panel that you flip to? It was like the tire of a car, or you flipped it over, it was like something else, or that's on the list too. If I'm pretty sure I saw that cover.
Yeah.
Yes, it's on the list. Number five.
Okay.
This is actually kind of scary how many of the books on the list we're actually remembering before we pull them out.
Yeah. Wolverine had a cool die cut cover too. Mm-hmm. It was his Weapon X file, and it's got like the three claws ripped down through the was a fun. I like that die cut one.
Can I bring up a cover gimmick?
Yeah,
absolutely.
From the '90s, having the pop-up covers, mm-hmm. like the covers that are slightly raised.
Yeah, the embossed ones.
Yes.
Isn't there like an Amazing Spider-Man one that's like all silver and you can't even all gray and you can't even recognize what it is?
It's it's his eyes or something, isn't it? That one or no, it's no, a different
it's,
one.
It's on a different
Death of Aunt May, I think, had a
That was the Tombstone, right?
Yeah, here it is, the Tombstone. Yeah, it's Amazing Spider-Man 400, and it's embossed like Dan said, but it's supposed to be the Tombstone. So 90% of the cover is this gray Tombstone, and it's embossed with the Spider-Man and the logo and all the text and stuff.
You can't read it.
You can't see it. It's just like this big, huge gray blob on this cover. Like, I don't know if this was intentionally made. Well, it's made for you, Chris. You have to touch it.
You gotta touch it.
You gotta touch it and rub it. You gotta touch it and rub it. Figure out what it is.
Speaking of touching and rubbing, I had a Catwoman comic where her boobs were embossed.
Nice.
Catwoman number one, and I always thought that was kind of weird.
I got to admit,
because you were touching it and rubbing it.
For a microsecond there, I thought Dan was going to say it was scratch and sniff.
They had that. Cats. They had a scratch and sniff.
Cats scratching, right?
The Harley Quinn was a scratch and sniff.
Oh, yeah, with the marijuana.
They had, they had a couple of different versions of it. But yeah, one was a marijuana one where you could scratch and sniff pot smell in the book.
Yeah,
that was 20 years later.
What? You got to scratch and sniff that? I just have to smell outside of my apartment to get that.
I don't know if it was.
Me too, man. Me too.
I don't know if it was scratch and sniff or whether it was just like a smell it. I don't know. I never bought one, but I did see them, and there was a huge hype around that pot one. If you could find one,
I think that's 20 years later though. We're not done with the 90s.
Yeah, we're still in the 90s, Chris.
Done the 90s until we say the word chromium.
Nice.
Right?
Yeah.
How many chromium covers are out there? I don't even know what chromium is. Like, is that actually a term or is that a marketing thing that they came up
with? I'm not sure.
A little bit of both, I think.
Frantically starts typing.
Oh.
Yeah.
There he is.
Everybody's Googling, frantically Googling what a chromium cover is.
Yeah, exactly. I thought I'd be smart and disable my mic and start typing, but I didn't click on the browser. So there I am. I probably chatted Chromium to you guys in the Google chat. Chromium. Let's see if we can do it now with my loud key. I guess it's something. It's a chemical element with the symbol Cr and atomic number 24. I don't know. That's all it says. I can't imagine they actually used like real chromium.
No, I wouldn't think so. But it, like, is that just like a regular like chrome colored embossing, like Lobo number one?
Well, I think what, like, they call it now is they call it metallic covers, right?
Okay.
Like, you remember all those Detective Comics 27, Sensation Comics number one, Action Comics number one, that was at Fan Expo. Mm-hmm. What was it, like 2019 or whatever?
Yeah,
as their exclusives. It's just a metallic kind of glaze on the cover. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's like aluminum foil, and then it's covered with an acetate that has the actual printing on it on the inside, sandwiched together.
Okay. Whoa,
apparently Cyber Frog.
Nice.
Who
the heck is Cyber Frog?
we're gonna stay away from that whole Comicsgate conversation. What else was there?
Actually, Chris Gilpin sold me a cool cover once. Mm-hmm. It is Sleepwalker, and it's a Halloween mask cover. They want you to tear the cover off and cut the eyes. Oh, the eyes are already out, but it's like dotted lines on the inside of the cover, and they want you to disconnect the cover and you can wear the cover as a mask.
Mm-hmm.
I never did that.
No, you didn't cut it out, but you did put your face up to the cover.
Maybe.
And you did also rub the cover.
Although Chris had cut it off and retaped it because he wore it for Halloween.
That's on the list. Sleepwalker number 19.
Is that the one?
It's number 11. It's number 11 on the list of top 20 gimmicky covers.
Well, honestly, that one is pretty gimmicky, really. And there was another one that was a mask. It wasn't that long ago. I can't remember what it was.
Well, DC had the Death in the Family series that the variant covers had masks on them as well.
Okay.
The different characters.
Yeah.
They've
carried over some of these weird covers into today's.
Oh, didn't they do an Avengers? It was like 5 issues in a row or 6 issues in a row that were embossed, like the whole cover was embossed, like Dan was saying. Like one was silver, one was green, one was bronze.
Oh, yeah, I think you're thinking of Blood Ties, the limited series with X-Men.
They did two crossover covers for that one. Yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure it's Avengers. Probably is X-Men as well. But I think
it was a crossover Avengers together.
Yeah.
Oh, Blood was Ties it? Oh, okay.
Avengers. Yeah. X-Men crossover.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Fantastic Four had a cool one too. It was a fully embossed, they did a red and white cover, and it had the Human Torch on it.
Yeah,
they did. They had a first and second print, and it was just like a completely embossed cover, and it was, you know, like stamped, but it was, they had a red one and a white one. The red one was cooler than the white one, but the white one was kind of neat.
Yeah, here it is. Avengers 360, 363, 366, and 369, beginning the 30th anniversary celebration celebration of the Avenger.
Yeah,
it was Alternate Visions was the name of the miniseries.
Hmm.
Every third issue is a giant 48-page embossed comic cover.
Yeah, but I think it all worked out so that it was in the Avengers books.
Yeah,
that it worked out that way. But
oh well. Yeah. Okay, one more cover. One more type of cover we're missing.
One more?
Before we get into that, though, I kind of mentioned the ferret. It was Malibu, too, wasn't ferret?
Yes.
But it had the whole top of the cover was die cut into the shape of the character's head.
Yes.
So it was a nice square comic until you got to the top, and then it was like... Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I'm looking at this thing, and my OCD is just triggering, like, I can't put this in a bag of board.
Like, do you have a copy of it?
Do I cut the board to the same shape, just, you know, a quarter of an inch higher? Do I just put it in there, and do I black out the cover so that, like, what do I do?
I think there was one Continuity Comics, or what's it called?
Continuity Studios.
Our man Neil Adams. Yeah, I think one of his comics had that too, where it was cut around the head of the on the cover.
Could be.
I've seen that too.
See, yeah. I thought Chris got the blockbuster last answer. Last type of cover of the 90s. He was so close.
The foil?
No. Keep going. Continuity Studios, Death Watch.
Oh, I know Death Watch.
Tyvex. Tyvex covers.
The heck is a Tyvex cover?
You know that weird material that Mighty Wallets are made out of and like UPS envelopes? It feels like paper, but it's plastic.
Really plastic?
Yeah. With all the fibers?
I don't recall that at all. Yeah. Well, I never bought those books, so
they had the Tyvex covers. I'm cheating here because, of course, I have it in front of me on this list, but Tyvex is a synthetic material composed of high-density polyethylene fibers.
Was it just that one?
It's indestructible. Company? It's done that way because it's indestructible. You can't rip it. You can't tear it.
A 10.0?
Yeah. Well, I feel like you could flux the corners pretty good. I'm pretty sure you could bend it and stuff, but you couldn't tear it. But yeah, Death Watch 2000 from Continuity Studios was the crossover that all the comics came in. Tyvex.
Yeah.
You never seen one of those Mighty Wallets, the paper wallets?
No.
Yeah, I've seen those, yeah.
Yeah. They had a Captain Canuck one.
I was going to say there's a Captain Canuck one, yeah.
I never got a cut one. I thought I was going to, you know, wait and get it later, and then all of a sudden sold out, and I never got one.
No.
A hole in my collection.
Hmm.
But that's the 90s anyways. That was the big 20 from the 90s according to this list.
Mm-hmm. That's I mean, really, because before that they didn't do much. Like, I mean, they had like direct editions and newsstands, which are now variants, but at the time they really weren't. I mean, most people viewed them exactly the same. Like, I don't think it was until Mile High Comics really started pushing that there was a difference between them that people even started to pay any attention to what version that they had.
Yeah, exactly. So
like nobody really cared much about it until you get to the 90s. And then all of a sudden it was like, bam, here's 10 different covers for issue one. And then, we made it to issue 15. Bang, here's a whack cover. What was it? DV8 from Image. They had 8 comics for number 8, you know, because we hit issue 8. Bang, here's a whack comics that are all like or covers that have nothing to do with anything. But,
yeah,
you know, Darkness number 11 had like 12 different covers.
Wow.
They had like a chromium, and then there was just all different, like, they were just, there was nothing special about them. They were just different artwork on the covers. And then of course you're standing there looking at them going, which one do you think is going to be worth the most, right? And then it's like, well, I don't really care, I kind of like this one the best, it's kind of the neatest looking cover or whatever. But yeah, it was definitely a weird time to buy covers or comics, because all you did was judge the book by the cover, right? You're like, I'm not going to buy that. That looks stupid.
Yeah.
There's
that's the big thing now, right? Where I'm jumping to the present, but where the covers have nothing to do with what's the story is in the book. Like, it's,
But that's nothing new. Superman comics in the 50s, there was like jokes on the cover that had absolutely nothing to do with the story inside. Oh yeah, that happened all sorts of time. So that's not completely unusual. I think my favorite stand. Sorry, Dan.
I was just gonna say, even like I've been reading Scooby-Doo comics with Amelia, and sometimes she'll be like, "But the thing on the cover wasn't in the comic book. Why isn't Scooby-Doo fighting a giant sea monster?" And I'm like, yeah, "It's exactly. Just to get you to buy the comic."
Yeah, it's just a gag.
It was still on the just cover. A guy in a mask.
Yeah. just a gag on the cover that was like a joke or something like this, and get you into it.
Yep.
But I was about to say my favorite Stan Lee story is he's talking about back in the day when he was competing with DC all the time, and they'd be like, we'd put DC Comics would have speech bubbles on the cover, so Batman would be talking to the Joker in this. So we put out an edict: no more bubbles on the covers. So they didn't put any text on the covers. And then DC followed suit. And then Stan was like, "No, put text back on the covers." And he was just messing with DC that way, being a goof.
Yeah.
We
also have the Whitman variants from the 70s.
Yeah, oh, that's true. Yeah, I mean, if you go back in the time, you've got like Marvel and DC tried a bunch of different pricing on covers. So there's the infamous Star Wars number one with a 30-cent cover, and then there's a Star Wars number one with a 35-cent cover where they were testing the price increase in certain markets to see if they would sell less. So you got pricing variants like that, newsstand versus direct, the Whitman reprints. So there are some variants, but those were kind of accidental variants. They weren't really marketing.
Yeah.
You know,
but people didn't even really consider them variants until most of them until really recently.
Yeah.
But the thing that really annoys me the most, I think, is that when it's a 6-issue miniseries and you pull it up in your CLZ to like add the books and it says there's 150 covers and you're like, what? There's 6 issues. And like you start looking at it and it's like cover one. And then it goes all the way to like, it's just stupid. It's like ridiculous that they've marketed it completely around how many different covers they can make as opposed to, making a good
quality
story.
Of books.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the other list that I pulled up. This is the top 10 comics with the most number of variants.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
But number 10 is The Amazing Spider-Man, number 800. Which had 68 variants.
Jeez.
Number 10 on the list.
And that's number 10.
Had 68 variants. Right? So if you're a completist, how on earth would you go out and find all 60? You had to mail order. You had to eBay. You had shipping fees into all that. What would that cost?
Well, and like out of those 68, probably 65 are readily available and 3 are like, you know, one in 100, 1 in 250 and 1 in 500, or even worse, 1 in 250, 1 in 500, and 1 in 1,000.
1 in 10,000.
Yeah. Like who buys that many comic books? Yeah. You know, like what shop can afford to buy? Like, and I know like Mile High is huge and my comic shop in Texas, they're massive and they can buy these and sell them because they have a huge online presence and they're massive. But like Grey Guardian, downtown Peterborough, not a hope and a prayer of buying, that many copies of them. So you're never going to get these big, crazy 1 in 1,000 issues down there. Like
it's just gonna happen. Now I'm not gonna go through all 10 because I think we only got 10 minutes left, but Star Wars number one from 2015, 83 variants.
Wow.
This one surprised me. Godzilla King of Monsters from IDW, because I don't really follow IDW too much.
Yeah.
And not Godzilla comics, which is weird because I love Marvel Godzilla, but 104 variants, number 5 on the list.
Number 5?
Yeah. Godzilla from IDW. Like even the smaller publishers are like, this is how you make money these days with comics.
Yeah.
This is why you make all number ones and you release a ton of variants and retailer exclusives and Loot Crate and all the other guys.
Yeah.
Number 3 was Batman number 50 with 108 variants. That was the wedding issue.
That they didn't actually have a wedding. spoiler.
Yeah, here's your Amazing Spider-Man number 666. 105 variants.
Wow.
There's 145 variants of Amazing Spider-Man number 666.
Well, I knew that there would be a lot for that one because every comic shop in the world pretty much got their own.
But number one. Do we have some guesses on what's number one on the list?
No idea.
It's got to be Marvel.
Walking Dead number one.
Oh, yeah.
So from 2003 and all the reissues of issue number one, 253 variants of issue number one of Walking Dead. 157 store variants alone.
Wow.
So that's that smash cover. Like it's a comic shop that's smashed and they just put the logo in the list. There's 157 of those alone.
Wow.
If you were a completist, like an OCD completist, you'd be done. Slit your wrist, you'd just be finished. Like what's the point of living,
especially when you pay $3,000 for one and then you're gonna spend like $10,000 to get the rest.
Like, how on earth can you get 253 variants of that one comic? But even with 157 store variants, that's still a little under 100 other ones.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because every time we go to, anytime I go to Gotham Central, it's like, oh, look, another new variant of Dead number one.
And that's exactly what it is. Like, they had the black blind bags that had a whole bunch of different covers of those that you have to rip open and find. But anyway, so that was the two lists.
I think I have maybe 10 of those Walking Dead ones.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's nuts. That's just bonkers.
That is wild. I would have never have guessed that there'd be that many comics of a book that I think, what was the print run on the first one? Like
the original one is low.
3,000 books that they printed total.
Yeah.
And now they have almost as many for reprints as they did in the original print run.
Isn't that crazy?
If you had all of those number ones, like that's almost a whole long box.
Yeah. One long just box of number one issue.
That's nuts. I'm looking at my catalog here, my database, and the only Walking Dead comics I have here, but again, I don't have that variant box done, is the Air Cell Walking Dead. I have my original issues of that.
Air Cell. What's that? Yeah.
Walking Dead before Walking Dead was Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah.
Aircell is the comic book company formed in the back of an air conditioning company.
Yeah.
Dad, can I open up a comic company? Sure, son. Oh, my gosh. Aircell. Yeah. That's a Canadian story there in all of itself. But I'm going to pull Dan into this because we're going to talk about our absolute favorite kind of variant comic. The blank covers that you then take to a comic convention and get your favorite artist to doodle all over.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Like, we must all have a bunch of these.
Yeah, I've got a few.
I got a bunch from Richard Cumley.
Yeah.
I think I got two or three from him. I got one from Andrew Thomas.
Yep, exactly.
I'm the Captain Canuck.
This is Andrew Thomas. It's throwing my green screen for a loop, but this is a Justice League number one, and Andrew drew all the Bwahaha Justice League characters on it in that very famous Kevin Maguire pose. But instead of Guy Gardner, it's Captain Polska.
Oh, nice.
In his favorite style.
Nice.
I've got a couple done by Neil Adams, but they're hidden away somewhere. I don't put them on the wall. A Green Arrow and stuff like this. My favorite is Leonard Kirk did one for me for Captain Canuck. I don't have it here though, but it was Harley Quinn and Captain Canuck on the cover. Harley Quinn was telling Captain Canuck a really bad Canadian joke. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. It's like one of my favorite things that I ever.
Nice.
And then the other one that I have on my wall is Micronauts. Oh, green screen.
Oh, too much.
That is an A. Shea Hahn.
Nice
pen, ink, marker, watercolor. I think it's watermarkers of Bug on an IDW Micronauts cover, but that's just because I love Bug.
Yeah,
love that Micronauts.
Yeah, I have a few from Shay. I've got like Beaver Dam and a couple other ones, Gladiosaurs. He actually did one of my character from our book.
Oh, yeah.
On a Captain Canuck cover. So there's Nightshade and he's like stomping through the so that was kind of funny. He did one of those for me. So he did a Ghost Rider for me. He did a Johnny Blaze on a Ghost Rider number one. That was
It was at Big B Comics a couple of years ago, and they had a like whack of the Captain Canuck blank covers for $2, so I picked them all up. So I got a whole stack of those here to get something on.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
I'm sure I have a few. I think I have like a little, you know, those Bill Cole BCW portfolios, the little box with the cover, you know, that you can slide comics. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I'm just blithering now. I think I have one of those full of blank white covers waiting for something cool to be doodled on.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I was selling at a convention and Hugh was there, Hugh Rookwood.
Oh yeah.
And it was in Lindsay. It was a 3-day one in Lindsay.
Okay.
Anyway, he ended up doing on a blank Captain Canuck. It was Captain Canuck versus Bleez, one of my favorite Red Lantern.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
The skeletal wings. So they were going. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I have a Captain Canuck cover that has Oryk as Captain Canuck that Andrew Thomas drew.
Oh, nice.
Nice. Yeah. I think those blank covers are probably my favorite because, you know, like Artist Alley and they're a place to go. So yeah. It's fantastic to be able to, you know, get a custom cover done by one of your favorite artists and stuff. I should have brought some to Fan Expo when I was there on Friday, but I was only there for a day. So I was worried it wouldn't get done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're fun.
Really good cover artists and artists in general is Oliver Castaneda. I've got two covers by him.
Nice.
I'm not gonna be too braggy, but I have his original 11x17 cover to the Captain Canuck comic convention.
Nice.
So it wasn't called Captain Canuck, it was called Tri-City Comics. Richard Cumley put it on. Mm-hmm. And the amount of detail that was removed for the program, because the program it's like a little more simplistic drawing. Oliver's got like He spends pencils when he draws. There's a lot of detail in this thing. It's fantastic.
Nice. Yeah. That's cool. I've got a Deadpool number 50 with a blank cover. Marvin Law. He we were just walking through Martin Peterson and I, and Marvin was sitting there, and we stopped and he was just looking at his covers and stuff. And he's like, talked me into it. He's like, tell you what, he's like, you buy this. And he's like, and, go walk around, come back. And if you don't like it, you don't pay for it. and I was like, okay, that's the best guarantee you can get. Like, if I don't like it, I don't have to buy. I came back and I was blown away. It was absolutely amazing. Of course I paid for it. And then I bought I didn't ask him to draw it, but I bought one from him, and it was a Justice League comic, and it was blank on both the back and the front.
Oh yeah.
So he did a full spill page of Deathstroke, like from on both covers. It was absolutely amazing too.
So yeah, he's phenomenal as well.
Yeah,
he's absolutely phenomenal artist.
Yeah.
Well, we got about 2 minutes left. I don't know. Are we going to debate on what the next episode is going to be about, or is there something else we want to talk about for 2 minutes? Or
I was going to talk about those lenticular covers.
Yeah, yeah.
Because those were, I think DC, they did a pretty good job of them when they put them out. But yeah. Then Marvel did that, the reprints mm-hmm. of the key issues, and they did the lenticular covers on them. I think the Marvel and the stores lost a lot of money on that one.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
That was just like last year, wasn't it? Or the year before? Fairly recent.
A few years ago. Well, Comic Book Addiction was at the old store, and they had like a
spinner. Oh, right. Yeah.
Chris, we're too old. Yeah. If I say this year or last year, it means any time in the past decade.
Didn't they have a spinner rack of those at Witcaf that one time you were there, Dan?
Yeah.
I didn't leave the table, so I don't know.
I thought it was like right beside our table.
I didn't look outside of our table. Was that when Jason Liu was sitting next to us?
Yeah, and Alex was at the CBA table. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, gosh, I totally remember that now, too. There was racks and racks of them. There must have been like a variant thing where if you buy 1,000 of them, you get a special cover or something. Because I can't understand any reason why anybody would have that many of the regular fancy cover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There had to be something like that.
The only lenticular of those that's hard to get is the Thanos number, was it 14, which is the first appearance of Cosmic Ghost Rider.
Oh, yeah.
And so that one is probably the hardest to get. The rest of them are all like, I don't know, $2 a book or something.
Because it's a legit first appearance.
Yeah.
First appearance in cameo. First appearance of my foot.
There's a Deadpool one, too, I think. Right after DC did their lenticular covers, Marvel did one issue of Deadpool with the cover like that. And It was pretty pricey for a while. I don't know what it is now, but
yeah, because DC's was the new 52 where they put those point issues, wasn't it? Like 23.1 and 23.2. Yeah. I remember that was like a villains month or something like that.
Yeah, and then they ran short on the lenticular stuff, and then that was a big. Everybody was up in arms because they were trying to make so many, and they ended up screwing it up. And
some kind of production problems or something.
Yeah.
Well, we sure don't have any production problems. We managed to make it through an hour here to talk about covers. So,
did you hit record?
This time.
Okay, that would be a production problem
because I did not hit record when we first started, and then we started up again. But it says recording in the corner, so. Yeah. Should be good. If not, rerun. So everybody, if you want to tune in previous episodes, it's heykidscomics.ca. You can get all the links there for all the podcasting links. We're available on almost every single podcasting streaming thing. We're on YouTube too. YouTube.heykidscomics.ca. Check out the channel. I think there's 4 or 5 videos up there, and have a peek and see what goofball nut bars we actually are. Mm-hmm. Until next week, have fun.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?
Check for Eugene Levy CFFF promo. Take 3.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Good level?
Yep.
Bobby Bittman here. I always listen to Trent Radio 92.7. I love this guy. I really do.
You do one more of those?
Sure. What was wrong with that one?
Nothing. The level was a little high.
Okay. Hi, this is Bobby Bittman. When I'm in the Kawarthas, I listen to Trent Radio 92.7 FM.